came here from India, and my heart has been stirred afresh for the harvest. When I was a young boy, if it doesn't work, I switch that one. When I was a young boy, at the age of 17, I got saved. Since I was a young boy, God has placed my heart for the harvest. When I say harvest, that means people who still do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I was in India, I was talking to some of the pastors. They have almost 1 billion people, right? 1 billion people in India. You guess how many of them are believers? 25%. 5%, 5 to 6% believers, right? 5 to 6% believers of 1 billion people. So there's a lot of people, who do not know the Lord Jesus. Even in our country, Malaysia, we have 27 million, right? I think, let's switch mic. We have 27 million people, and are Christian, 10%. But that 10% include the many nominal Christians. Nominal meaning many of them are really not born again, right? They just go to church, maybe because they've been, from a young boy, they follow their parents bringing them to church. So many of them really do not know Jesus, in the sense of they have not confess their sin to Jesus. They have not recognized their own sin, and they have not come to a place where they realize only Jesus can save him or her from his or her sin. See, to come to that place is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a revelation that a man or a boy or girl must receive. Then he can have genuine change of heart. Genuine conversion, where he experienced a new birth. See, so there, in our churches today in Malaysia, we are filled with many people who have not experienced a new birth. They simply go to church because it's the right thing to do. Because from young they don't go to church, the parents maybe beat them up, or maybe say, "You go to church, after church I bring you to McDonald's." No, they tempt them with all this kind of thing. So they simply just go to church, but they do not have a living relationship with Jesus. For a person to begin a relationship with Jesus, he must come to a place where he recognizes that he has sinned against God. And that's a work of the Spirit of God. We cannot convince you mentally. If I convince you mentally of that, you may be convinced mentally, and yet spiritually you have not recognized your sin. If you have a recognition of your sin, you will know, even after I walk with God over 30 years, coming to 40 years now, 31 years, I know the condition of my heart. I need the Lord. Even after so many years, I know that I need the Lord. I know that if I'm not careful, I can drift away into sin again. Because I still have the Adamic nature. Correct? We still have the Adamic nature. It is only as I live constantly walking with God, allowing the Spirit of God and cooperating with the Spirit of God in crucifying my self-life day by day. If I do that, then I will continually enjoy the new life with Jesus. If you don't do that, you go back to your own ways, walk the way you want to, do not want to crucify your flesh, do what you want, you begin the journey of drifting away. And one of these days, you will backslide and turn away from the Lord. So there are now Christians in our churches, we call them carnal Christians. They just want God to bless them, all they want is what they want. No, that's it. And that is not a Christian. A true Christian wants what God wants for him or her. If you are a true Christian, you want the heart of God. You want to obey the Father. You want to do the Father's will. Jesus said, "My meat, my food is to do the Father's will." Is that the condition of our heart? Do we want to do the Father's will? Or we are here this morning simply because we want God to answer our prayer? We want God to give me a promotion in my job. We want God to give you a life partner. See, I think nothing wrong with that. But if that's all you want from the Lord, then I think we are no different from a Buddhist, right? We all Buddhists go to temple because we want to do well in our studies. We want to find a new wife. We want to prosper in our business. We want to have peace in our family. So we go to the temple, we give offering. We give money, we buy pork, we buy oranges, whatever. We give to the temple, right? We give money, etc. All because we want some blessing from God. So the so-called God. See, the Hindus, every religion is the same. And if Christian religion is the same, then we are just another religion. Right? I don't want to be distracted, but I want to come back to what I have... God has put my heart to share this morning. If you turn with me let's turn to the Bible. Let's turn to James. James chapter 4 verse 5. James chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns zealously? The Bible here says that the spirit who dwells in us yearns zealously. The word here, yearns, it simply means to long for intensely. The spirit of God that's in us long for us intensely. He longs for fellowship. God longs for fellowship with his people. It's a very intense love. It's a very intense desire. Maybe another word I can use is God has a passionate desire for fellowship with you and I. So you want a title? My title is God's Passionate Pursuit of Men. God passionately pursues a relationship with his people. So it's not a selfish thing. You know, I think most couples today, they enter the marriage very selfishly, including myself. I don't claim that I'm the perfect couple. But most of us, if not all of us, we simply want a relationship because we need company, right? We feel lonely. We need a companion. Am I not right? It's not entirely wrong to enter in a relationship with that. But if that is our main motivation of entering into a relationship, it's really very selfish because we simply want something from the other person. See? So two person are lonely, they start looking for a companion, and then when they find someone that they can relate with, so they enter into a relationship because each of them meets each other's need. Right? See, that is going to a relationship with the intention of getting something from it. But God is not like that. The reason why God wants a relationship with you and I, with men, is because of his great love for you and I. Because he simply wants to share with men all his goodness, all that he possesses, the quality of life that God possesses. God possesses a life that there's no pain, there's no sicknesses, there's no grief, there's no evil in his life. His life make perfect. The life of God is a perfect life. And God possesses all that. And instead of just simply keeping it to himself, he simply wanted to share with men. That's why he created Adam and Eve. The reason why he created Adam and Eve, because he wanted to have to share with Adam and Eve the life that he had. He wanted to bless them and cause them to know what it means to be like him. That's why he did not create Adam and Eve as a second class being, lesser than himself. The Bible said that men and women were created in his image. In other words, God created Adam to be exactly like himself. Is that selfishness? No, that's not selfishness. A selfish man, the Kung Fu master, the Chinese Kung Fu master, they will never teach the disciple all their steps, correct? If they do that, one day the disciple will kill them and take over the association. The Kung Fu master always retain the most deadly arts that he has learned, the martial arts, and to himself. Am I not right? He only pass on to the person that he wants to be his successor. Am I not right? See, and that person will continue his name and etc. So the Kung Fu master is like that. They will not give you everything. They will always keep the most important, the most deadly, whatever, to himself. But God is not like that. God wanted to share his entire being and life with Adam and Eve. That is the heart of God, right? And you turn to another scripture in Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. Maybe your most version may not get it this way, but if you have the New Living Translation, New Living Translation put it this way, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. He said, he is a God who is passionate about his relationship with you. God is very passionate about his relationship with you. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. See, different versions will put it this way, but the New Living Translation put it this way. He said, he is a God who is passionate about his relationship with you. That's the reason why God saved you and I. You and I are very privileged people. Out of 27 million people, they say 10% Christian, including all the nominal Christians. So good Christian, maybe 5-6%. I'm just making a guess. So we are the 5 or 6 or 10% of Christian believers. Aren't we the privileged few? There are 27 million. We are probably just 2 million or so people. The rest of them, if Jesus come back today, they are going to eternal hell. And that is a very frightening thing. They are going to eternal hell. Whether they believe it or not, they are going there. That's the truth of God. Jesus said, there's no way a man can be saved. No man can come to the Father except through me. See, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus make it very clear, there's only one way to the Father. And the way to the Father is coming to Jesus, because Jesus was a man sent by God to die for the sins of men. So only Jesus can save men from their sin. Not your good works, not your tithes and your offering, not your, the things that you do for the church. He will never save you. These things are important. We need people to serve in the church so the church can continue to grow. But the only thing that saves you and I from our sin is when we come to a place, we recognize that Jesus is the only Savior that can save us from our sin. Have you come to that place in your life? If you have not come into your place in your life, you are still a sinner. You are still not born again. And if you were to die, you may be attending this church for 5 years now, or 10, or I want to say 10 years. This church is not 10 years old. 5 years now, you will still go to hell. Coming to church will not save you. A man will be saved when he recognizes his sin and confess his sin to Jesus from his heart, sincerely, truly, recognizing his own sin. Not because he's afraid of hell, he wants to get saved. That is not genuine. It is a place where you recognize you are a sinner in the eyes of God. If you come to a place where you realize that you are a sinner in the eyes of God, and only Jesus can save you from your sin, only Jesus can change you and I to become, so that we can retain back, get back the image of God that Adam and Eve has lost when they sinned against the Father. We have lost the image of God because of Adam's sin. But we can get it back through coming to Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Don't be deceived. There is no other way. You don't like what I say? You say that I'm very selfish, I'm very narrow. I'm simply declaring to you the word of God. There are preachers today that will not preach this way to you. They tell you that Christianity is one of the ways to God. That is an absolute lie. The lie that comes from the pit of hell. But get back to what I'm going to say. God longs for us. The Bible tells us that every evening, if you go back and read in the book of Genesis, the first few chapters, the Bible records the story between God and man, Adam and Eve. When the Bible uses man, it's referring to Adam and Eve. Right? So God came from his heaven. He came to the earth that he has created, where he had placed Adam and Eve. He did not come to get something from man. The Bible says he simply came every day to walk in the garden looking. The Bible says he was looking for Adam and Eve. Why was he looking for Adam and Eve? Because he longs to fellowship with them. He longs to share with them his heart. He longs to have, he longs for their company. He longs to have time with them. That's God. Can you imagine the great Almighty God? Came looking for Adam and Eve, looking for fellowship. And they had good fellowship. Until one day, they sinned against God. And to just get to my point, right, when they sinned against God, the Bible records for us, that evening, God came again looking for Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that they were hiding away from the Lord. So when God came, some people think that God was angry, right, with them because they sinned. But I don't think so. I think when that evening, God's heart was broken. His passion for Adam and Eve was intensified because he knew that sin has come. And when sin came into man, God is a holy God. Sin separate man from God. And God, in his love for you, some those of you who are parents will understand it. If your son maybe do a terrible thing, become a drug addict, you know the pain the parents will go through. The parents still love the son or the daughter. But the pain that they will go through to see that their son is now going into a direction that will destroy his life. But ask any parent. I've talked to many parents who were parents of drug addicts. One of them, I still remember, I went to her home to visit her because I was helping the son. The son was staying in church with me. He was a drug addict, and he wanted to quit the habit. I went to visit the parents. The mother is very old. She's an old granny. I can't see any granny. She's probably about 60, 70 years old. Very old. And she begged me. She said, "Pastor, please do all you can to save my son. Please do all you can." She cried and she begged me. I do not
know what to do anymore. I sent him to the Pusat Serinti in Malaysia, the government center in Malaysia to help drug addicts. He said he go in, out, he come out, he go back to drug again. He go in 2 years, he come out, he go back to drug again. He go back in 3 years, he come out, he go back to drugs again. No one can help him. But I remember the longing, the passion that the mother has because of her love for this son that she has begotten, this son that she has brought to life. Only a mother will understand this. We men don't understand this. Because the mother carried the baby in the womb for 9 months. She has a relationship with the child that we father sometimes we cannot understand. Because of that bonding that they have. That is the kind of bonding that God has for His people. And that bonding is far greater than the bond between the mother and the child. I remember the mother's face. She was begging me. Can you imagine an old lady? I was only in my 20s. I was not even married. She was a grandmother begging me to help his son. The love of the mother for the child. That's the love of the father for his people. God longs for fellowship with his people. God's intense desire for you and I is very intense. He loves us. So much, we none of us will fully comprehend, I said earlier, understand His love for you and I. So man's relationship with God was cut off. And you read the book of Genesis, after that, man no longer walked with God. After Adam, they no longer walked with God. And then came Enoch. I think there's another guy who walked with the Lord before Enoch. But then I want to bring I bring a story to Enoch. Enoch was the seventh generation after Adam, correct? Because Adam was his great 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 grandson. So you count that's great four times great 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 grandson. You count he's a seventh person in the lineage after Adam. Seven is a perfect number of God. Man did not seek God during his time. But one day, the Bible records for us, maybe we can turn to Genesis chapter 5. One day at the age of 65, something happened. Those days, 65 is very young. Today, 65, you are called an old man. But those days, they live up to almost 1,000 years old. Adam lived to 900 years. 900 old. They all live about 900 years. So Enoch was also supposed to live about 900 plus years to 1,000 years. So at 65, he's very young. It's like a baby. He's very young. Of course, he's not a baby. He's very grown up. But in terms of age, he barely lived his life. He barely, not even lived one-tenth of his life. Genesis chapter 5. Right, let's pick up this verse here. Verse 22. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 300 years. 365. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, and God took him. See, the Bible said that Enoch was 65 years old, and he begot Methuselah. See? And then he said, Enoch walked with God 300 years. That means he only began walking with God at the age of 65, right? Because the Bible says he died at 365. The Bible says he walked with God 300 years. That means he only began walking with God at the age of 65. You may be a Christian, but have you walked with God? To walk with God is to have an intimate relationship with Him. It's to walk with Him like a friend walk. A friend knows the heart of a person. A friend knows the liking, the dislikes. When your friend just shows certain sign, a stranger will not know what that sign means, but a close friend will know what that sign means. You understand what I'm saying? Take your wife or your spouse, for example. Your wife, your spouse just show certain facial expression. Other people do not know what that means, but you know what that means because you have lived with her for maybe 10, 20 years now. When you see that facial expression, you know it conveys something. It maybe convey disappointment, it convey sadness, or it convey hurt. She's been hurt. See, people may not pick that up, but the spouse who is close, I don't presume that every spouse will pick that up, because sometimes we don't even pick the signs of our spouse. Because maybe we are not so sensitive. But so at the age of 65, then Enoch begin to walk with the Lord. And he walked with the Lord for 300 years. I did a bit of study. If you ever study, see, how did Enoch begin his walk with God? I think this is what happened. he went to talk to Adam. But he was warned by his father, maybe his grandfather, said, never ask your great-great-great-great-grandfather about God, about his walk with God. Because history, Jewish history tells us that Adam probably fell into a very deep depression. I can understand what that means. Because if he walked in the glory of God, you and I don't understand what it means, walk in the glory of God. He walked in the glory of God. He was with God. He was created in the image of God. He had no sin. He was like God. All the glory that God possesses, he could enjoy. But now when sin came, he lost everything. It's like you are a multi-billionaire. Right? The richest man on earth, richer than Bill Gates, richer than the Indian man. I heard now, he's now richer than Bill Gates, richer than the Indian man. You are richer than that man. One day you lose everything. Will you go into depression? I think you might go into depression. You own so much. For one, you had to adjust your lifestyle. You live in mansion. Now you're going to live, in a flat. See, the change that takes place. Those days when you walk on the street, everybody let you go first. When they come to the door, they open the door, let you go first. When you lift there, they let you go first. Everything at first. But now when you pass by, they don't recognize you anymore. Correct? We live in a world like that. When you got lots of money, everybody recognize you. When you lose everything, then you know who are your true friends. Your true friends are not those who are with you when you are rich. When you are poor, when you got nothing, the people who stand with you, the people who still come and have yam cha, is it? Have a cup of tea with you. Those are your true friends. If I were you, I will keep those friends. Forget about all those friends who were with you when you were rich. When you were nothing, they forget about you. They are not friends. Adam went into, they say Adam went into deep depression. He and Eve probably went to hide in a cave. When you walk in sin, you will go back. You will love the darkness. So they probably went to hide in cave. They lost the glory of God. He was depressed for years, probably. He lost the glory of God. He lost the fellowship. The Bible says that he was driven out of the presence of God. If you have been in the presence of God, I know a little bit of what it means to be in the presence of God. Because every day I experience the presence of God in my time of worship with him. That's why I can bring people into the presence of God. I did not learn it anywhere. I did not learn it from a school. I spend time daily with him. Daily I spend time in his presence. I have a glimpse of the glory of God. I have not experienced what Adam experienced. I tell you, when a day I spend with the Lord and the presence, that I don't sense his presence, I tell you, fear grip my heart. Fear grip my heart. Because I experience his presence every day, day by day. I cannot live one day without sensing his presence. It's a very frightening thing to me. You may not understand what I'm talking about. But I experience his presence day by day. So I know a little bit of what Adam went through. Right? So come back to the story. Enoch knew that he might incur the wrath of his great-great-great-great-grandfather. But there was a longing in his heart to know God. He picked up enough courage. He said, I will go to him. If he scold me, he drive me out. Doesn't matter, because I want to know God. I want to know God. He didn't want anything from God. He didn't want money. He didn't want blessing. He didn't want a ministry. He didn't want a prophetic gift. He didn't want anything. There's no record. The Bible says that he wants anything. The Bible says simply that he walked with God. That's all. Walking with somebody. Walking with people. It's a friend. Friends walk together, correct? Friends walk side by side. They walk together. They go through life together. They go through the pain and the joy. They go through the victory and the defeat together. You and I need people like that in our life. People who walk through the up and down with us. These are true friends. And I pray that we Christians will be that kind of friends to one another in the church. The brothers and sisters in the church. That we will be loyal and faithful. We don't walk like the people of the world. They're out to cut from you. They're out to get something from you. Am I not right? Don't be like them. We must be people who are loyal to one another. We don't betray each other. We must be true to each other. We will stand with one another. We must be honest and truthful to one another. And I believe that when he spoke to Adam, Adam began to share with him. Adam shared with him how he walked with God. God showed him all the things that he did. God showed him how he created the heavens and earth, how it works rather, how the earth is held by gravitational fields and etc. And so, isn't it amazing that the planets out there, they've been circling for thousands and thousands of years and they don't collide? We build planes and our plane collect. But look at the satellite, the stars are out there. How they can just move and round and round. There are millions and billions and billions of them. They don't collide. They just go on. Because there's a God who created them. There's a God who created them and keep them in order. The sun, every morning, tomorrow morning you will see the sun. Is there a day where we don't see the sun? But the day will come where the sun will no longer be seen. Let's not get to that, then I get distracted. But the point that I want to drive to you this morning is this, that Enoch began to learn from Adam how Adam walked with God before the fall. And he saw the failure of his great-great-great-great-grandfather as an opportunity for him. To enter into a relationship with him, right? And Enoch did not just succeed Adam in walking with God, but he went beyond. He walked with God so closely, Adam fell, he did not fall. The Bible records for us, right? At the age of 65, he was not. It's an old English word, simply means he was walking with God so closely, he touched the heart of God. He was such a great friend of the Father. He did not want anything from the Father, but all he wanted is the Father's friendship. God is looking for people like that, who do not want anything from God. They do not want a ministry. They do not want the power of God. They do not want money from God. They do not want this and that. But they want God. Do you want God? Do you desire Him? Many Christians seek His hand, but they don't seek His face. To seek His hand means you want things from Him. To seek His face means you want His friendship. You want to know Him. Many Christians seek the power, the anointing, the miracles of God. But they do not seek the heart of God. What kind of Christians you want to be? There are two types of Christians in the church. In this church as well. In my church, there are two types of Christians. Christians who seek God's hand, Christians who seek God's heart. What kind of Christian you want to be? When I was sitting there, God simply asked me to do one thing this morning. To speak to you about this. Why are you in church? Why do you come to God? Are you seeking His hand? Or you're seeking His face? Are you seeking things from Him? Or you're seeking His heart? God gives you and I nothing. He doesn't. No promotion. No financial blessing. No life partner. No children. You want a children as a parent. No children. If God answer nothing, none of our prayer, give us nothing, do we still seek Him? That's why couples divorce today. Because after working with 20, 30 years, the partner no longer fulfill your need, I will find someone else. Because in the first place, the couple went into a relationship because they want something from each other. So when each don't meet each other's need, they look for another person that can meet their need. So people divorce because they never really enter into marriage because of love, true love. Why do you come to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship? Is it because you get something from here? Maybe God used Pastor James, pray for you, you got healed. Pray for you, you lost a job. You're in bankruptcy. People coming after you. He prayed for you. A miracle took place. And you got a job better than the last job that you lost. Praise God for that. But is that why you stay in Amazing Grace? I tell my people like that. Not just you. No? I tell my people like that. Because if they want to leave the church, they can leave. I tell them, why are you in light of Christ? Do you know did God call you here? If God call you to join me, it's a marriage. We must be together. There's no divorce. We will be together. I cannot quit. I can only quit as a pastor with the permission of my people. Without the permission, I cannot quit. So I said, you cannot quit this and leave the church without my permission. If I give you the permission, then you must also give me the same. Correct? Am I not right? But people quit church today because they've been hurt by the pastor or by certain leaders or by certain things that happen. If a family is like that, no, those who are older people, I mean, some people are older than me. You've been married for maybe 30, 40 years. Why are you still together? Because of a love and commitment to each other, correct? If you go by feelings, I'm sure you will quit your marriage already. There are many times your wife hurt you. There are many times I hurt my wife. There are many times we hurt each other. But we stay together because of love. Then the marriage grow and grow. It mature into a mature marriage. But today, most marriages are very childish. We quit because we are angry, because our partner upset us, hurt us. Our partner did this to us and did that to us. But if God calls together, if the partner hurt us, then we need to be like Jesus, to love the person until the person changed. I'm not saying I'm perfect, no. But as I say this, I am also speaking to myself. What kind of husband am I? What kind of father am I? As long as we don't live this kind of truth, we will never build the church that we are supposed to build. The church is another club. When I'm not happy with the club, I resign the membership, I find another club. That's a club. But our family, we don't quit. Can my son quit and say, I no longer want to be in this family? Can I quit and say, I no longer want to be the father? Can my wife quit and say, I no longer want to be the wife, to be the mother of this family? The love of the Father is towards you and I. God is very passionate in His desire towards you. He longs for fellowship with you. He longs to share His heart with you. He longs for people. He has loved you and I unconditionally. He's looking for people who will love Him back unconditionally. Because Enoch did not seek God's hand, but he seek God's face. He did not want anything from God. He just wanted a relationship with God. He got more than anyone on earth will ever get. Let me tell you what God gives to him. That's why I say God is not a selfish God. He did not seek for a great ministry. No, right? The Bible says he walked with God. That's all. You know what God gave to him? Enoch was a great prophet. You know why? Because he spoke about his day. He lived about 6,000 years ago. Am I not right? Almost there. About 6,000 years. Maybe a bit less. Around there. He lived about 5,000 over years ago. He spoke about his day. And he spoke about our day. He could see 5,000 years ahead of time, 5 to 6,000 years of time. There are very few prophets today that can do that. They can see thousands of years. There's a prophet in New Zealand that prophesied to me when I was in my 25, thereabout. And I have yet to see the fulfillment of his prophecy, but somehow the thing he's prophesied is beginning to take place now. It's 21 years has passed. See, he could see 21 years, so we marvel at that. But Enoch could see thousands of years before time. He prophesied about our time. He prophesied about the imposter that will be in the church. Today there are many imposters in the church. People who are not real. They are very good entertainer. They can perform miracles and do all kinds of things, but they are not genuine people. They don't love the flock. He prophesied this will take place before Christ comes back. We will see many of such leaders. He prophesied about the coming of Christ. Christ hasn't come yet. He already prophesied. He prophesied that there will be a judgment of the world. Yet to take place. Right? Isn't that a great prophetic ministry that God has given to this man? Very few has done that. Prophesy about the second coming of Christ. So you search through scripture. Not all the prophets could do that. He's one of those. Because he sought the heart of God. God gave him his hand. God gave him his hand. God said, God gave him such a powerful ministry. And let's turn to this scripture. I think then we can close very soon. Maybe one or two more scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away, taken to heaven, so that he did not see death. See, he excelled over so many people, including Adam. Adam all had to die. But Enoch did not have to die. He was given the privilege. Only two men bypassed death, Elijah and Enoch. From the beginning of time to today, everybody has to die, except these two men. It's a privilege and honor God gives to them. When you seek God's face, God will give you an honored position. Enoch was one of them, one out of two. He bypassed that. He supersede his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Adam has to die because of his sin. God allowed Enoch to bypass that. He was not found because God has taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. He pleased God. He pleased God. It wasn't what he did. The Bible didn't say because he has led 1 million people to the Lord. Because he has done tremendous miracles. He has built the largest church in the world. The Bible didn't say that he has such a great prophetic ministry. He could prophesy about the second coming of Christ. The Bible didn't say that. Read your Bible carefully. We all think that pastor is great because he's done this, done that. We are judging it by the estimation of the world. The world system is like that. But God took him because God was pleased with the way he walked with God. Genesis, I read to you, the Bible said that he walked with God and he was not. So he put this together. The reason why God was pleased with him was because he walked with God. Nothing that he did. It was because of his heart for God. He knew how to love God the way God loved him. God's heart was after him. So was his heart. He was aftering God. He was going after God. Many of us come to church, come to God every morning. You have a long prayer list. God, please do this for me. Please do this for me. Please do this for me. God is a gracious Father. He will do it for you. When my son asks me something, I will do something for him. Sometimes I regret because I know that I shouldn't have done that because I think it's maybe not very good for them. But it's because of my love for them. I will do it because I'm the Father. So you ask God things, he will give to you. If you keep on asking God for something, even God knows it's not good for you. Sometimes God will let you have it, but you will suffer the consequence of that. I know people who really want to get married. I think there's one person, I feel that the person, you shouldn't get married. Yeah, I just feel in my heart, I share with the person. I say, you see God yourself, it's your life. But the person really want to get married, insisted and kept on praying to God for a partner. So then God gave the person what he or she wanted. But the marriage was never happy. Because it was probably, now I look back in hindsight, that was probably not the best that God wanted to give to the person. But you keep on insisting from God. God will give to you what you insist him. Because he's a very gracious Father. Within the parameter of his view, of course. Enoch walked with God so closely. All he wanted was to please God. All he wanted was to love him. All he wanted was to spend time with him. There are many times, I tell you truthfully, we live in such a busy world. Pastors are also very busy. There are many times I come to the Lord, I just want to pray for the church people. They got this problem, this fellow is sick, this person got this problem. So as a pastor, I pray for them. But the Lord arrested me. He asked me one day, you coming for me or coming for my hand? To get some. So I told God, yeah, I was coming to get something from you. Praying for people's need. And I knew it wasn't pleasing to the Father. So I stopped doing that and I said, God, I'm sorry. I put aside all my prayer lists, put them aside. And I spent time just loving the Father. I love him. I worship him. I worship in all my heart. I begin to read his word, not because I want to preach, but because I love to hear what he wants to tell me. I just want to, I say, God, speak to me. I want to hear you. Do you and I spend time, for us men, we spend time with our wife just to listen to our wife? That is love. If we take time to just listen to them. Or we just come to our wife because we want something for our wife. We want our wife to do this, do this, do that. Or we come to husband, we want our husband to do this, do that for us. But we just come to our husband or the wife, just sit down and just talk. Enjoy each other's company. Do we do that? True love will cause us to do that. We do not want anything for each other. We just want to be together. We just want to talk to each other. God is looking for people who will just draw near and have a relationship with him. God is looking for friends. Our close now. God is looking for friends. God is looking for friends. Will you respond to that? Will you be his friend? Will you walk the way Enoch walked? I know it's very high. I don't know whether we'll reach there, but at least we try. At least we try. We try to walk. See, if you desire. See, man lost it. But Enoch desired that. He probably went to his great, 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 great grandfather. And ask him about that. And out of that, he begin to walk with God for the next 300 years. Who knows? One of us here will walk with God like Enoch walked with God. I don't know. Maybe you could be the person. I could be the person. But is there a longing in the heart? Don't seek his hand. Seek his face. Don't seek things from him. Seek his heart. You break his heart when you just seek things from him. Seek his hand. Will you break a heart if all my wife, all your wife want is something from you? Will you break a heart, ladies, if all the men want is something from you? Will you break your heart? I'm sure you break your heart. You are being used. I think we use God many times. He's our Santa Claus. We laugh, but he's our Santa Claus. This what I need to do this morning. I need to convey to you God's heart. God's heart is breaking because he can find very few men and women, even boys and girls. There's no age barrier. You can be a 4-year-old boy, a 3-year-old girl. You can walk with the Lord. Samuel walked with God at a very young age. I think about 4 years old, there about five. He was brought to the temple. And the Bible says that he was brought to learn to minister. The word minister means what I'm talking about today. Learning to worship the Father. Learning to love the Father. Learning to serve the Father. At a young age, will you and I walk with God? Do we want his hand or we want his heart? Let's close our eyes and pray. I just want to encourage you to respond to God. I have spoken enough. You respond to God. If God has been speaking to you, if you have been guilty of just wanting things from God, will you repent today? Will you say sorry to him? And we tell God, God, I'm sorry, I've been just seeking things from you. Today I want to begin seeking you. I want a relationship with you, not things from you. If that is your desire, you just begin to respond to him. If he has spoken, he has already spoken to you. If it's not, means it's not time. Perhaps you are not ready yet. But it's okay. One day God will speak to you. But those of you who have heard the voice of God, you begin to respond to him. You ladies, maybe you want to say to him, God, I want to be like Mary. Martha is busy serving. But Mary know how to sit at the feet of Jesus and just listen to him. I want to be like Mary. Daily I will take time to sit at your feet, to listen to you, to worship you, to read your word, to love you. For us men, likewise, you want to walk with God like Enoch walked with God? It was his choice. He made the choice. He made the journey. You and I can make that journey, and we can walk with God like the way he walked. And we can enjoy daily communion with him, with the Father who loves us. Father, I just pray for all us that are responding this morning. Spirit of God, I ask that you come and help each of us, God. You know our frailty, you know our struggle, you know our shortcoming. But Holy Spirit, you are greater than all these things. You are able to help us to overcome. So that each of us can begin that journey or continue on that journey if we have already begun. The journey of knowing you. The journey of walking with you. Help us to walk with you the way Enoch walked with you, I pray. He walked so closely with you that his walk pleases you. It wasn't what he did, but it was his walk. His walk pleases you. And Father, I pray that this morning in this room, there will be people who desire their walk to please you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to pray a general prayer. I just feel not to pray for anyone. I feel that there are many times we just come to church to be prayed for. Nothing wrong with that. But today I feel that God simply wants us to come for him. Let your heart be focused on Him. Don't come for anything else. Just come for Him. So I'm going to pray for. So if you have a need, you are sick, certain whatever need it is, as I pray, you just join me in this prayer, and God answers prayer. Amen. I don't have to pray for you one by one. Not that I don't want to pray. I just feel that that's not the thing to do this morning, right? Maybe to emphasize my message, we are not coming to seek His hand. We are coming to seek His face and His heart. Amen. So let's pray together. So whatever your need is, you just hold up the needs to God now. You understand? Go ahead. Whatever, just you hold up the needs to God, and I will pray a prayer. And God answers prayer. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray this morning for your church, God. Lord, I pray for those that are sick. I pray for those that are not well. I pray for those that has got needs. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, your word tells us that, God, that you send your Holy Spirit as a helper. And right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you help this one who has got different needs. And in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, for those that are sick, we speak healing to those that are sick right now. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we declare that by your stripes we will heal, Lord. Past then, we will heal, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, that you have already obtained the healing for us at Calvary. And right now we receive it by faith with thanksgiving to you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the healing. Thank you, Lord, for even hearing the prayer of people right now. I ask, whatever prayer, whatever need has been held up to you this afternoon, Father, I pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let your answer come in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray even this afternoon, I pray that, Lord, as you leave this place, God, that we will continue to pursue after you. We will continue to walk with you, Lord, the way Enoch walked with you. Thank you, Father, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, you will cause our heart to be kept focused on you. Keep us close to you, Lord. Cause us not to be distracted. Cause us to recognize our Lord. After all, Lord, the reason why you save us is simply that we will come to know you. We will come to walk with you, Lord. And I pray for all us here in this room, Lord, that we will discover that walk, and you will begin to enjoy that walk, Lord, a walk that will please you, Lord, as Enoch please see you, Lord, in His walk with you. So we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. I pray all this in Jesus' precious name.